I believe one of the greatest messages in that book in the New Testament is the message of the power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus didn't do too well without him until he received him. He did the best he could, but he didn't perform any miracles at all until he received the Holy Ghost. Is that right? After he received the power from on high, the Bible says, Jesus stood up and said, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Spirit of the Lord God. That's what I'm talking about right now, the Spirit of the Lord God. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the sight to the blind, unstopping the deaf ears, proclaiming the acceptable year of the Lord. How do I do it? Preaching by the anointing that comes from the Spirit that anoints me. I do the preaching. And brother, the apostles on the day of Pentecost, they wasn't doing too much healing up there with the door locked and shut, and they were sitting up there, and the outside Jews going to try to cut their heads off. They found them. They were threatening to kill them or shoot them or do anything they could. And they had just killed their leader and hung him on a cross, but he couldn't stay there. He came out. Now they went out and saw him go back to heaven, but they're there by themselves and they haven't received the Holy Ghost yet. And they're all locked up. And there's nobody hearing any preaching, and there's nobody being prayed for, nobody being anointed. They're all sitting there waiting because Jesus said, don't go out without him. Wait till I get to heaven. And when I get to heaven, I'll go before God the Father, Jehovah, and I'll pray the Father that he will give you another comforter. Said he's with you now, but he's not in you. But it's better that I go away and send him that he'll come inside. And then he makes your body a temple. He'll dwell in you. And there are things that he will do that he cannot do until he comes on the inside. You have him only on the outside. He is with you now, but he is not in you. Jesus sent the disciples in the upper room and said, ye shall be filled with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. He didn't say a one of them had the Holy Ghost, for they did not. They were going to receive something. The vital importance of the Holy Ghost. To some people, just pray, talk in tongues a little bit, get a little blessing, and that's what it is for. Brother, you haven't even got in the race. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to tell you just a few things. John the Baptist, I'm going to tell you just a few things briefly of what the Word, two of the greatest men that ever walked the face of the earth, was John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, of all the women that gave birth to boys since Adam up to the present day, he said, there's none that has ever born to woman as great as John the Baptist. So John the Baptist was pretty great. Jesus said, you think you saw it went out there to see a reed shaken with the wind? He said, he's not afraid of nobody. He don't sway with the opinions of the public. A lot of people do. If you don't watch it, you'll find yourself swaying with the spirit of the world. But brother, when you have the anointing of the Holy Ghost in you, it's going to produce different kind of fruit. John the Baptist is full of the Holy Ghost. The Bible said that he was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. He was great. And Jesus Christ was filled with the Holy Ghost. And the testimony of both of them, John said, I indeed baptize you with water. I carry you down under the water and bring you up out of it. But there's one coming after me mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not even able to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. I received it. I know what I'm talking about. He shall baptize you with what? You just don't. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And with fire. Whose fan is in his hand? He's a person. In his hand, he's a person. He'll baptize you. He'll come on the inside. And when he gets in there, he's got a fan in his hand. And he will thoroughly purge his floor. He's going to take and knock up such a... Brother, you talk about taking a broom and knocking up some dust. Brother, when the Holy Ghost comes into you, you are amazed what kind of a housekeeper that fellow is. He said when he comes in, he will reprove the world of sin. And before he takes you and goes out there and anoints you to reprove the world of sin, he'll give you a scouring, brother. He'll give you a sanctifying. He'll get a lot of things out of you that the world won't be saying, hey, you're doing so and so. He'll give you a cleaning up. How many believe it? The Bible said we're sanctified by the Holy Ghost. You believe it? Sanctified. So it said he has a fan in his hand and he'll thoroughly purge the floor and he'll gather the wheat into the garner. He'll separate the wheat from the chaff and he'll take this other junk and he'll burn it out up. He'll throw it out and burn it up. But he's there to separate. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he's real. Now, John the Baptist said Jesus is going to baptize us for that. Then Jesus tells us, he said, boys, the ones standing here, they're not going to taste death. They're not going to die till they see the kingdom of God come in power. They'll live. They'll be leaving you. You boys that are here, listen to me. You'll see God's kingdom come in power. Now, when he was here, the kingdom was established while he was here. So, they all saw the kingdom, because they're all dead. They all saw the kingdom come in power. Jesus said, you're going to go up in that upper room without power. Because they didn't have. He said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. Peter could have said, just a minute. Just a minute, Lord. You're looking at an old boy who's got her. You see? John over there, my buddy, he's got power too. You're telling us we're going to receive something while we already got it. Jesus would have said, shut up, boy. I know what I'm talking about. You don't have what I'm talking about. Amen. I'm talking about a power from on high. I gave you power to cast out devils. I gave you power to lay hands on the sick, but it was a special anointing that I gave you. But when the Holy Ghost comes, it's a promise of the Father to who? God will pour out His Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Peter said, who is this for? It's to you, your children, to them that are afar off. As many as the Lord our God shall call. The Holy Ghost is a gift to whosoever will. And he comes, he said, I send him to abide with you forever. Then we ask them, they'll say, well, now this kingdom, the kingdom you're talking about, what is this kingdom? And we hear it from the Word. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not what you eat and what you drink. Now we found out what it's not. But the kingdom of God is righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. What is God's kingdom? Righteousness, joy, and peace in God's Holy Ghost. Am I right? Does the book say that? Now then, let's connect the kingdom with something. Jesus looked at him and said, you know, this fellow John the Baptist you're talking about, he's great. And of all women ever give birth to boys, there never was a boy on earth that ever was given birth to as great as John the Baptist. But get ready for this, he said. Listen to what I'm telling you. Nevertheless, the very least in the kingdom, you'll not die till you see the kingdom come in power. What is the kingdom? It's not meat and drink. It's righteousness, joy, peace in the Holy Ghost. What did they go to tear for? Power. You shall be endued with power from on high after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He said, but the very least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. What light does that throw us in heaven's light? It said, as the world looks upon us, as nothing. Nothing as unknown. That's what the book said, Corinthians. The world looks on us as unknown. You're a little bit of nobody. But the next part of the verse says, but we are well known. How are we well known? It's because of what took place when the third member of the Godhead moved into my temple. Brother, that's what makes me great in the sight of God. It's not who I am, it's what I have on the inside. And he said, the very least in the kingdom that's full of the kingdom, full of the Holy Ghost, they have God's kingdom. The very least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. That throws you in a shadow that where God calls greatness, he's talking about Moses. He's talking about Elijah that brought down fire from heaven. Moses that led 2 million people out with a stick, held it out, and the Red Sea went back, struck a rock, and the waters came forth. Moses that went before Pharaoh, threw his stick down, and they turned into a serpent. And he ate all the other serpents up that the magicians threw down. Greater than David, greater than Jonathan, greater than Joshua, greater than Samuel, greater than Saul, greater than Hezekiah, greater than Isaiah. Of all that is born of woman, John's greater, but he that is the least in the kingdom of God is greater, not greater in maybe deliverance power, maybe not greater in faith to bring down fire from heaven, but in what sense greater? When they laid the foundation of Solomon's temple, it was unbelievable, unheard of. It went worldwide. Today it stands as one of the greatest wonders of the world. When it was destroyed and passed away and burnt with fire, and they put up a little Herod's temple in its place. And while they constructed Herod's temple, they were weeping. Some of the young hearts were glad because they was getting a temple where they could worship. But the mamas and dads that had walked in Solomon's temple and saw the glory and the grandeur of the Solomon's temple, they wept and they cried. And they said, what is it in comparison? This temple is nothing, nothing in comparison to Solomon's temple. Oh, what do we have here? We, because of our sin, because we failed God, we've lost our Solomon's temple. What is this temple? It's nothing. And then come a guttural voice of a prophecy. Come a message from God, a prophet. Thus saith the Lord, the glory of this temple shall be far greater than the glory of Solomon's temple. Not because of brick, not because of gold, but because of who walked in it. Solomon walked in Solomon's temple. But Jesus Christ walked in Herod's temple. Oh, my brother, why are we great? It's not because of our color of our eyes. It's not because of our height, nor our education. It's because God has condescended to give me that glorious experience of the Holy Ghost. He gave him. He came in. To J.C. Hibbert is a gift. And to you. He made my body his house. You share it, Hibbert, and I'll share it. We'll eat breakfast in it. We'll sleep in it. We'll work your problems over in it. And we will face the devil in it. Oh, I'm glad of that. There's some things I may do without him. But there's some things I certainly feel and wait to feel the anointing. When I step behind this sacred desk and see your hungry hearts, I think, God, I'm glad I feel something moving inside. It's the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. And I think, I want you to think. God sent the Holy Ghost. Jesus said he's going to send him. And said it's going to be called the promise of the Father. Wait for the promise of the Father. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's a gift and it's a promise of the Father. God prophesied back there, I'm going to pour out my spirit, Holy Ghost, on all flesh. Now, when the time comes that he sent it, I'm going to try to cut it short here, but grab on and listen closely. When God sent the Holy Ghost, that wasn't like an angel coming down here. Brother, that's God sending one of the members of the Godhead. Not to come down here and walk the Sea of Galilee, but to come down here and climb on the inside of you. Get inside of you and look through your eyes. Think through your brain. Take your tongue and talk through it. Jesus said when he comes, he'll teach you all things. He's an intelligent being. You get down to pray, you come up against a stump. You don't know how to pray for you ought as you ought, but the Holy Ghost will pray through you with groanings which cannot be uttered. He knows how to make intercession. How many believe he does? He anoints you. He anoints you with power. It's not earthly power. It's power from on high. You meet the devil, brother, you've got supernatural power. You're coming with natural power against supernatural power. And that's the picture of everybody from the New Testament back to Adam. They did not have that power. For you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I give you power over devils. Nothing shall be any means hurt you. I give you power to lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I give you power over weakness, over sin, over sickness, over failure. I give you power and authority over all the powers of the enemy. And fear not he that's in the world, for he, a person, for he that is within you is greater than he that's in the world. He comes in to guide you into all truth. You can't do that in the natural. And aren't you cute going up against supernatural power of the devil, trying to overcome it? That's the reason why they, under the law, that which the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. But God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that we could be the righteousness of God. And there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, in closing, how many believe that when God sent the Holy Spirit to the church and sent him down, and he knew that our body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, and our body was the one he was to share, the Holy Ghost knew he was to come inside. When God sent him, how many believe that as sure as God ever had a plan for any specific thing to be done a special way, God had a purpose in sending the Holy Ghost to the church so they might receive him? Let's imagine the Holy Ghost come up and say, you want me to go down and out to the earth? What do you want me to do? Be superintendent in the church. Just go in and occupy the believers when they're born again. You can't go in until they're born again. But when they accept my Son and born again, then when they begin to praise you, Jesus said, I will baptize them with the Holy Ghost. Because Christ baptized us with the Holy Ghost. So it said, then you enter in. When I go in there, you've got any certain thing you want me to do? Oh, no. Just kind of go in and just kind of go around with them and whatever they want to do. You know, when Sunday comes, if they want to go to church, okay. But if they don't, they want to go out to the lake, you know, you'll have to go out to the lake with them. And then when they get in late evening and it's a little late and they don't want to come to church, and there's a television program there, and they want to watch something. Why, you're supposed to stay in there, and, you know, if you don't enjoy it, kind of stay in there and kind of miser it through a little bit, you know, kind of sweat it through. And then if they go to bed and don't pray, you'll just have to kind of bear with them. And when they take you down to one of these drive-in theaters, why, of course, there's some pretty rough stuff there, and you're going to have to be initiated to some kind of rough stuff there, you know. Then you mean, God, that I'm going down to be a prisoner, huh? I'm going to be a prisoner. I'm going to have to go down and project myself to all that junk. Brother, I'm going to tell you, when God sent the Holy Ghost, He expected you to do something before you ever come in, and that is to be born again. Yeah. Not only be born again, stay born again. You know what happens when you're born again? You become a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things become new. You say, oh, that's the Holy Ghost. It's not either. That's just a born-again experience. You're just getting ready for Him. He won't even come in until you're born again. The Bible said the world, unsaved, cannot receive Him. He's not about to come into an old sinful life. And He's not about to stay in there and you dragging Him into things. Oh, I know the Lord's not pleased with this, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. You can do anything you want to, bud, but I'm going to tell you one thing. You're not carrying the Lord along with you. I said you're not carrying. You know what the book said? In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, breathe not God's Holy Spirit of promise. Don't you dare grieve my spirit. When the Holy Ghost comes in, brother, you're making a covenant that I'm going to walk the way you want me to walk. I'm going to talk the way you want me to talk here as a child of God here. Made a mistake. And here's a child of God over here. Both of them got the Holy Ghost. And this child of God with the Holy Ghost sees this child of God do something. And they'll think, oh, boy, I can't hardly wait. I know I've got my little group. I'm going to call them and tell them what happened. And about the time you do, if you have the Holy Ghost, if you have Him, He's going to scream. He's going to say, let that phone loose. That's my child. He made a mistake, but he's prayed about it. You shut your mouth up. You get on your knees and pray. But if you're aware, you're so full of the flesh instead of the spirit. The flesh has more priority. You can succeed in getting on that telephone and give him a piece of slime. Did you hear what I'm telling you? But the Holy Ghost is not jumping up on the inside and saying, goody, 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 goody. Boy, she told about him, that old boy, cussed and swore, and maybe he did something he shouldn't do. Of course, he got out and really prayed after that and repented and got back, and I filled him with the Holy Ghost again. But I'm anointing this soul here to just tell all that gospel. You're called children of God when you're peacemakers. Come on! Brother, let me tell you, God will not let His Holy Spirit become a prisoner. He will not let you take Him places hour by hour and project into that and neglect God's Word. You put God, Christ, and the Holy Ghost God give you in the right place. Give them the right priority. And you read your Bible like you ought to. And you get on your knees and pray like you ought to. There's a lot of things that God will submit and go along with you doing. But when you grieve God by going overboard and letting the things of the world, He said in the end time they'd be lovers of pleasure. Didn't say they wouldn't love God. Oh yeah, they love God. Said they would. They love God. But not as much as pleasure. Somebody said, oh well, I love God more than I love pleasure. Which do you give more time to? Ooh, bingo. Which do you give more time to? Which do you give more attention? Huh? We can find ourselves in habits that feed the flesh. That feed the flesh instead of the spirit. Am I telling you the truth? You have the Holy Ghost, the person. Now, I'm saying this, and I promise to close. If God said to me, son, get ready. I'm going to take you out of your spirit. I'm going to take you out of your body. And I'm going to put you in another body. And you've got to go from here to the time you die in another body. Oh, Lord. I found a lot of things wrong with myself, and I'm constantly praying. I have a battle with myself, but I don't know whether I want to go in anybody else. No, you got to. That's what the Holy Spirit had, brother. He had to take. He shares our body. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Don't say he's not in you, brother. If he's not in you, God's word's not true. He is. The person of the Holy Ghost is in you. Now listen. If I had to go out of myself into someone else, well, God would say you could pick somebody naturally that's saved. You want to pick somebody saved? Well, I said I certainly wouldn't like to pick some old cusser that goes wrong and uses God's name in vain, uses Jesus' name in vain, drinks a little liquor, you know, and gets out there on the floor with that, looking for the bully and all that kind of stuff, you know. Now, the way I was dancing here this morning wasn't like that. That's dancing under the Lord. That's in the spirit. If you don't believe I was in the spirit, you ought to have jumped in me. You'd have took off yourself. But I would hate for God to project my spirit in some old guy I'd get up in the morning and holler over, all right, hussy, get out of there and fix me some biscuits. You don't do it, I'll knock the ha-ha-ha-ha-ha out of you. There's a lot of that going on today. Where'd you put my shirt? Well, where do you think I put it? And then you think you're going to have a happy home. Your home is what you made it, not what the Holy Ghost made it. You both yield to God, brother, and you'll have a good home. If I've got to go into somebody, I'd say, God, how much time can I have? Please give me as much as you can give me. I'll give you 2 days. I'd sit down and think of everybody I loved. I'd think about Brother David. None. I'd think about, of course, if I'd go into my wife, then I'd be all out of kilter because I'm accustomed to a man. I don't want to be a woman. But if I had to go into a man, I guarantee you one thing. There's some preachers I know that I sure would say to God, God, I sure don't want to go in them. I'd hate to get up in the morning and have their nature, their disposition, and the things they do, and their personality. I'd find somebody that was as much lined up with my convictions as I could find. Am I right? When the Holy Ghost comes in you and stays, he's going to find somebody that's lined up with his convictions. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, the best of us, at times we put priority on things that are the wrong things. And they're not on the things that you'd have us to put them on. There are things that demand our time and devotion and attention more than spiritual things. But God, while this crowd has got the head bowed and they're thinking and they're praying right now, help them to realize that if they are projecting that Holy Ghost into things that he doesn't enjoy, they're making a prisoner out of him. And there comes a time, like in Saul's case, God's spirit left him and an evil spirit came in his place. Lord, you said in thy word that my spirit will not always strive with man. The best of us, Lord, at times we go days and forget you. We don't really get down and pray till our soul is fed. And, oh God, we pray right now to help us to appreciate the blessing. If I have done things that you did not want me to do, if I have neglected things that I should have done, I know it grieves the Holy Spirit. But I want to come this morning and ask you to clear my slate and give me a fresh touch and an anointing. Let him come afresh and to give me power from another world to walk and keep the spirit in priority over the flesh. Some things we do could be done providing we put God first. But sometimes we neglect God to do some things that we do, and we spend time and hours that are fruitless. When the kingdom of God is suffering because of what could be done in your life with it fully yielded to Him. All true pleasures come from God. He hasn't deprived you of the true pleasures. You can't really enjoy them until you're filled with the blessed Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, they were filled. 3 days later, in the upper room, it says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They had a refilling 3 days later. That's what the Bible said, isn't it? The disciples and all the ones in the upper room were there, and they lifted up their voice several days later, and it said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They all had the Holy Ghost. But they let it completely be filled. You know what filled means? Huh? You know what filled means? It means it's not half. About half, he has half his way and about half mine. Finally gets where he has about three-fourths and you have about one-fourth of yours. When you get totally yielded, he's able to speak your tongue, another language. You're wholly yielded to God, led by the Spirit, moved by a power from another world, led by the Spirit, as many as are led by the Spirit of God or the sons of God. Then when you're in that condition, you're filled. You're perfectly yielded. We need refillings. I want you to step forward and come into the front. I want you to raise your hand and say, Lord, I'm glad you chose my temple to let the Holy Ghost come in. Check me this morning if there's anything that needs to be burnt out. He's got the fan in his hand, and he can thoroughly purge his floor. I want you to step out. If there's some lack, I want you to start moving out. There are people all over this audience God's talking to. How has your prayer life been? How has your prayer life been? Come on. Jesus said this is one way to know you got the Holy Ghost. When He comes, ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. Are you a witness for Jesus? Do you witness to other people about Christ and tell them to come out and witness to their souls? Jesus said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. God bless you. God bless you. They're coming. I don't want you to just come to Brother Hibbert. I want you to come to the Lord. I want you to come to Him and say, Jesus, if I've done anything to grieve the Holy Spirit, if there's anything in my life that would keep my life from worshiping You like I should, have Your way.
Surrender all.
Would you come?
To Him I.
Oh, hallelujah. That's right. Come on.
I will ever love.
Will you come?
I trust Him in.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Presence daily live.
Oh, I want you.
I surrender all.
The Holy Spirit, He's in you. You don't have to holler. The Holy Spirit is there. Raise your hand and say, Lord, if I've done anything to grieve, if I've done anything to grieve the Holy Spirit, please forgive. Please blot out. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. Father, we pray right now to let Thy blessed Holy Spirit, let Him move and brood upon every one of Your children. Every person in this building this morning. Oh God, anything. There's a river. The rivers of living water flow within our belly. We pray to let those rivers begin to flow right now. In Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. surrender all, well, all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. I want to say one word right here to everyone. The devil will tell you, well, now the Holy Ghost won't come in because you haven't been praying like you should, and you've said a few things about this one, and maybe you haven't done this and done that, and you've been lax on maybe your tithe and a few other things, and the Holy Ghost won't come in. Well, are you going to go ahead and roll up your sleeve and do all that big job yourself, or do you need someone to help you? You know what he said to them? He said, they said, well, Lord, what can we, said Peter, what can we do? You just got through saying that we were guilty of the blood of the Son of God, that we took him with cruel hands, and that we have crucified God's Son and hung him on a tree, and we're guilty of the blood of the Son of God. Now, what shall we do? Peter said, repent. Tell God you're sorry. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise, the promise is to you and your children and to them that are afar. You may be guilty of the blood of the Son of God. You may have consented to his death, and God puts it down. His blood's on your hand. But if you'll ask God to forgive you, he'll forgive you and fill you with the Holy Ghost. You don't merit the Holy Ghost. Nobody on the face of the earth never merited the Holy Ghost. It's a gift. If I come up and hand Brother Nunn $1,000 and say, Brother Nunn, he looks at, well, what's that, Brother Everett? It's a gift. Meaning, he doesn't have to do one thing, not even say anything or do one thing in the world. It is 100% on the goodness of my heart that I am giving him something unmerited. He doesn't have to merit a penny. You receive the Holy Ghost unmerited. You receive it just like you are. He comes in and takes his abode up and helps you whip the devil and whip the flesh that you have a battle with. Raise your hand right now and thank God that he fills you. Come on, raise your hand and thank him for it. Father, we thank you for the Holy Ghost. We thank you for the Holy Ghost. Right now, come within the heart of your children. Come within the heart of each one of these that are having their hands upraised. Flood their soul. Flood the soul with the blessed Holy Spirit. Right now. Oh, hallelujah. Begin to praise him. Just begin to praise him. That's what he wants. Just begin to praise him. Oh, hallelujah. I come. Just praise God. And waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Anyone has the interpretation, give it. God's Holy Spirit, I'm sure, was speaking to our hearts, confirming, and that's what he usually does. He confirms what has been said, what has been dealt with. How many feel like you have been to church this morning? How many here this morning, listen, you do not want to grieve the Holy Spirit. And how many, you do not want that blessed Holy Spirit that makes you greater than John the Baptist? It makes you greater than Moses. For Jesus said, John the Baptist was greater than any boy that has ever born from Adam to the present time. But the least in the kingdom is greater than even John the Baptist. I didn't say it. You're greater because of what's in you. And you do not want to let that blessed Holy Spirit become a prisoner in your body. You know certain people yourself. You wouldn't want to wake up tomorrow morning in them and have to go everywhere they go and do all they do and take the personality on and just sit over at the sideline and endure that. You'd want to go into somebody that was as near you as you could possibly get, that had the same convictions, that lived peaceably, loved everybody, had the right attitude. You can't have a grudge in your heart to save your soul and keep the Holy Spirit. Why? Because if you have it against someone else, God's Holy Spirit said, if you don't forgive them, God can't forgive you. But brother, how many believe when the Holy Ghost comes in, one major thing He does, the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. You have a love that you never had before. You have a power that you never had before. You have an anointing that you never had before. You have a boldness that you never had before. You have an authority. You receive the gospel. These signs follow. They'll speak in new tongues. You have to have the Holy Ghost do that. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. These signs shall follow them that believe. Not only the preacher, but them that believe. You have authority over sickness, over devils. Said, in my name, you'll cast out devils. How many thank God for the authority? Who are you? You're a son of God. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Bound for heaven. Carrying the banner over you, and the banner is love. Let's raise our hand and praise God as we dismiss together. Father, we pray to dismiss us in thy fear. Bless us and keep us and bring us back again for the service tonight, 6 o'clock. Give us a great time. Anoint your children, Lord, to worship you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Turn around now and shake hands with someone with you. Let them know you're glad they're out.